Hey guys, it is Sunday, June 22nd, and thank you for joining us on the show. We are here at amazing Las Vegas Comic Con in, obviously, Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm Sean Marshall, the Confluence from our website, and I'm here with my wife, Carmel.
Hi, Carmel Marshall, the connoisseur on Twitter.
And so we thank you for joining us. This is the first time that we're actually trying out the podcast format, so we've gotten a lot of feedback from people over the last year that you know, be something they're interested in. For myself, I definitely, my preferred media, probably above literally all media, is podcasts. And so we thought we'd maybe try every once in a while to throw these in as we're doing shows. And so we're not sure exactly what this is going to be, if we'll do other things like prep podcasts or things like that. But we thought we'd start out, and since we're here at Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con having a good time, we thought, well, we'll take a little bit of time on Sunday and kind of recap some of the things we've seen, and it gives us a little bit more of a chance to expand on things than what our videos do. You know, it gives us more of a long-form narrative to talk about the show and get into a little bit more detail than what the videos do. So we'll see what it becomes ultimately, but we thank you for joining us here this time, and we're going to get into the show a little bit. So we are here at the South Point Casino in Las Vegas, which is a really nice casino and gaming center just all on its own. But it's a really interesting kind of unique place to have a convention, obviously, just being Vegas and the casino atmosphere and stuff. So it brings with it some differences and some fun additions in the off hours there and stuff. So, Carmel, what do you think of some of the, you know, highlights or lowlights or just the ideas of having at South Point? What do you think of the venue?
I think the venue is pretty cool. I like that every once in a while I can take a break and go down and play some video poker or some video blackjack. And I like that there's a lot of different food options that are available here that aren't available at most conventions. Since most conventions, you're pretty much limited to the snack bar type food they have inside the Comic-Con floor. Here, they actually have some restaurants and some other food options that I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I would definitely say that in terms of proximity, it's about the best food that we've had proximity to at maybe any of the conventions this year. I'm not sure. But just the type of food, the quality of the food, the prices, I mean, they're a little bit inflated being in a casino in that environment, but definitely some good offerings there. What stood out to you?
Well, in regards to the food, another upside is that we don't need to leave the facility to get to this additional food. So like Long Beach or San Diego, there's lots of different food options, but we actually have to leave the convention center and cross the street and all that type of thing, whereas here we can just go down the escalator, and it is a little walk, but it's still really accessible. So
yeah, and you know, that's a great point. And the idea of the, you know, they have a really nice movie theater, they have obviously a couple bars, the restaurants, do they have a bowling? Oh yeah, they do have a bowling alley as well. So, you know, we go to Vegas a few times a year usually, and there's a lot of places we like to go in Vegas that are not in South Point, but this show kind of captures us. And so far it's, you know, it's midday Sunday and we've not gone really anywhere but South Point and done all of our eating and gambling and everything pretty much here. So
Even our dinners, we usually will leave whatever casino we're at and go venture out and try some different places. But for this weekend, every meal we've eaten here at South Point, the restaurants are pretty good options. So,
yeah. Yeah, so I definitely think it's a great spot for a show, and it really brings a unique flavor to it. And it almost has a little bit of a summer camp feel in terms of, you know, as the night goes on and you're having dinner there, and you see George Perez wandering by upstairs, and we saw him going to some casino gambling museum type area and seeing different people out on the floor.
It's also fun to see the non-con goers responses to the cosplayers as they're walking around, or as the character from Avatar is sitting in the cafe eating and people are walking by just confused as to what's going on. It's kind of cool to see their reactions.
Yeah, it's definitely a class of cultures there, but there is a strong group of the attendees here that are staying at the hotel, and they're everywhere. So, yeah, it's a really cool spot for it overall. So definitely high regards for that, and hope that Amazing Las Vegas keeps coming back here, and that you know, South Point keeps taking care of them and making it a great show all the way around before and after hours. I think in total yesterday we were in South Point either covering the show or taking a break at the very end of the night for about 14 hours. So, you know, I think it's good business for South Point and obviously should be good business for Amazing Las Vegas as well.
Well, and thus far, it seems at South Point, I have not heard any complaints or any negativity in regards to the way anyone's being treated here by security or by anybody for that matter. I have not heard anything negative. I think everything I've heard is positive.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, okay, so what we thought we'd do is with this show, and maybe the format will change for future conventions and stuff, but for this one, what we thought we'd do is just kind of go through a little bit of chronology in terms of what were some of the things that we experienced as we went through Friday, Saturday, and into Sunday here, and kind of how they reflect into the larger context of the convention and the convention culture and all of that. So we pulled in Friday around 2-ish, and the first thing we were greeted with was kind of a really cool and unique thing. And again, at this point, I think it's something like we've been to about 54, 55 conventions, expos, shows in the last 18 months, and this is the first time we saw something which does not happen very often at all. And what it was reserved parking for cosplayers, and we found that really neat. And part of that is just logistics of the show is that they need, because it's a casino, it doesn't really work to have the Joker coming through with an M16 or something like that through the middle of the casino, or other, you know, costumed characters with rifles and things like that. So they have a separate entrance set up, but they went with that and put together separate parking. So there's parking attendants there throughout the day that have this, you know, kind of VIP parking. And that really kind of plays into what the experience seems to be for cosplayers, which is, you know, they really set it up as a cosplay kind of VIP experience for those guys.
Well, and it's a good thing too for the cosplayers, because the parking structure, I think a couple times we've pulled in and have had to hunt for parking, and at least the cosplayers, when they're carrying all their gear and all their accessories and all their costuming, they aren't having to go hunt and then hike from a mile away. They are easily accessible. I think they're like on the second floor, maybe third floor, mm-hmm. So they're not even in the elevator for very long, and they're able to get taken care of quickly.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they're able to get their weapons validated and taken care of and marked with the orange tags and through registration, and it's all separate from the regular attendees or media or anything like that, and they're in there and on the floor. So definitely an interesting you know, part of the show there to kind of guarantee that parking and that entrance and stuff for those cosplayers. And I'm sure as the weekend goes on, or as it's gone on, I'm sure there's some people that, you know, cosplayers didn't realize that there's no way you're going to be able to get 100% of the people to know 100% of the things, but there are big signs, and you know, we knew very easily where we were supposed to go, and we saw the cosplayers going through and all that. So any other thoughts just generally on the cosplay this weekend?
Well, in general, I think the cosplay has been good. Friday, I didn't think there was as much of a presence of cosplayers, which I don't know if that's just a lot of people are still driving in from their jobs and stuff. I mean, we were fortunate and able to leave early on Friday and get out here before this con started. But if you are driving in, then I could see that takes some time, especially with Vegas traffic. With EDC going on in Vegas this weekend, I think traffic in general was heavier to get in. So I wouldn't be surprised if that played into Friday being a lighter day with cosplay. But yesterday, Saturday, it was quite present, and I thought it was really good. Pretty standard for most of the amazing shows that we've attended.
Yeah, and that's a good point about EDC, which we were not familiar really with before we came out. But EDC Las Vegas version was it's an electronic dance festival that travels around the country, and Vegas is the biggest one, it seems, of the year, at least from the little bit of research I did into. And so they expected around 220,000 people just for this kind of all night rave throughout the weekend. And so that's been interesting, just having them all descend onto Vegas. But we really haven't felt too much of an impact of it here, and I think they're kind of working opposite hours of us with their event being all night. So,
well, even driving in, I mean, every few cars we were seeing had EDC written on the windows and stuff, so I definitely think there was a huge impact on the amount of traffic. I mean, we left maybe a little later than we normally do when we come out here on a Friday, but even so, I think the traffic was significantly impacted. So those coming in later, I think, were probably stuck in much heavier traffic than we were.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. But But yeah, so as we got in, we got registered super fast. I mean, this time both of us were media, so that's a little bit different situation than regular registration. Talked to a couple people that went through regular registration, or also a couple people that went through the VIP registration, and both seemed very fast relative to what they would expect to get in on that first day of the show. So people did seem pleased with that, and that seemed to run really smooth and go quite well from everything that we saw. And then we hit the floor, and kind of our first target was somebody we've interacted with once before, but I think he's just the type of person that maybe every convention he's ever at, outside of maybe San Diego, because it's so hectic there, but just about every convention that we try to hit up, which is George Perez. And so we stopped by his booth, and there was an interesting ticket system there, which was the first time we experienced that. So maybe you want to explain that a little bit more?
Well, basically, they were handing out tickets, and I think on Friday they limited the amount of tickets to 100. I'm not sure what they limited to on Saturday. But basically, the ticket had a number, and you basically took your ticket, and you could leave the signing area, go out into the floor, go explore everything, and then come back later. And those who were present who had tickets, whoever had the lowest number was the next one up to get a sketch or get autographs from Mr. Perez. There was the other option of just waiting in line, but in this case, I think the tickets were a much better option, because you weren't having to wait for all the ticket people to jump in line and come in front of you, and you could go. And even if you were number four, which I think we were on Saturday, maybe we left and we came back and they were working maybe number 22, but because we were number four, we jumped in ahead of whoever else was there, which was a nice option too.
Yeah, I think the setup there, I mean, it just makes a lot of sense, and it's something I'd love to see more people do. And I mean, for him, the way his format works basically is he signs up to 25 books for free, and there's a lot of people taking advantage of all 25 of those books to get their signatures. But then also sketches, and he does quick sketches, which unlike some artists, he doesn't make it just you know, it's got to be 5 minutes or less. But what we found is that they all come to write about 5 minutes, and they're awesome sketches. And he is just so full of life, and he makes everybody in line, he's kind of entertaining as he's drawing, and it's just a really unique experience to be not only to get the sketch, which is amazing, but to also just even be in his line or be near him. He's just got such energy to him.
Yeah, agreed. He is amazing. He is talking to people while he's drawing. He's more than willing to take pictures afterwards. He takes multiple pictures. He's always constantly thanking everybody for waiting and for their patience. And he's always smiling. And he's there right at open when he says he's going to be there. And he's not leaving until he's done sketching for whoever's still in line, or whoever has tickets still. It's just a hugely positive experience. I think every interaction we've had with him, he's actually enjoyable to stand in front of for all that time and hear his little stories and antics and things.
Yeah, and we ended up actually getting two sketches from him. We went and we got Thanos being sucked into kind of the hype of the Infinity Gauntlet right now, and so we ended up getting that, and that was amazing. And then also a Deathstroke, which is, you know, kind of getting his creation that's now on the screen for Arrow.
Well, and in the past, we had gotten him to draw a Black Bolt, which, yeah, I believe you said has some tie-in to, yeah, Thanos, which I'm not horribly familiar with.
But. Yeah. Yeah, no, it'll make for a nice companion piece that we'll kind of display somehow when we get around to matting and framing and things like that. But, you know, at one point he said to the people in the line, he's like, well, I've taken my family to Disneyland before, and so he's like, I know how terrible lines are. And so he really, I mean, he's literally thanking people 10 deep in the line for waiting in line as he's sketching, and he does it nonstop. And so, yeah, just an awesome experience. Is somebody that, you know, would love to see it just every show you go to.
And his positivity, I think, is reflected by the people who are standing in line, most of whom are actually engaging in the conversation. So it's almost like this big group conversation that everybody's having, and people aren't just standing there scowling and upset that they're standing there waiting in line and that he's taking this time to talk, because it's kind of this entire experience of waiting in line and having this amazing conversation with this legend who makes himself so accessible to everybody at this type of show.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and really to put a pin on George Perez, just closing out Saturday. So he was there, first walked the floor around 9-ish, which is that VIP hour beforehand. He was sketching away. He was sketching away at the very end of the show, ending at 7. So we never saw, I mean, I'm sure at some point he had to go to the restroom and had to eat or things like that, but we never saw him not have a huge line and not be sketching, and all the while for these $40 sketches, which, you know, there's a lot of other artists charging much more that have nowhere near the pedigree and don't get anywhere near the experience. And then when it's all over, we're at the cosplay contest, which we'll get a little bit more into later, but Saturday night, and look over to the right, and he's just sitting there in the stands watching the cosplayers and kind of celebrating with the rest of the fans. And I mean, he just fully gives himself to the show and really immersed in it.
Well, and he stayed immersed in the show. And then I think you mentioned already that when we were having dinner at the cafe at for dinner, we saw him walking by, and he was also engaging himself and fully engaged in the casino atmosphere too, and that he was wandering and exploring and taking it all in, which I think is very cool for him. And lots of times that we've been exposed to some artists, when they're drawing, they're very absorbed in their work and what they're doing, whereas he's engaged in everything, and he's very aware of what's going on with the lines, and he's very aware of what ticket number he's on, and he's very aware of the money transactions. Meanwhile, it never seems that he's overwhelmed. He just takes it all in very smoothly. It's, yeah, just an awesome experience, and he's been great to interact with in the various times that we've interacted with him.
Yeah, and Friday is very similar to what Phoenix does. Is it's kind of an elongated preview night, so it's a 3 to 8. So you go late into the evening, but 3 to 8 o'clock. And so during that, there was a few other things going on, obviously outside of the artist sketching away and things like that. So in the panel room, they had some different, you know, kind of fan favorite type activities, or I should say, unique fan favorite activities to the Amazing shows. But one, for example, they had a cosplay Family Feud contest going on, and it was really cool. Just to see the one team was led, I think, by Starfire in full cosplay, and the other one by Batman, and they were battling out, and it was this giant screen, and the audience is cheering, and, you know, just a really fun, unique type of an experience that it really shows what a show can do without having a big guest up there, because the Amazing does have the big guest, and we'll get into, you know, having Jim Lee or Rob Liefeld or people like that on stage, but also being able to look kind of within and saying, you know, what can we do uniquely? And the room was packed. It was in their main Hall A kind of arena, and there were very few empty seats, and they were all going on, so all filled up, and so that was really cool to see. But for us, we didn't do a ton of panels. In fact, they don't really did any panels. Friday was more about the floor and kind of seeing what was going on there, and I came into the weekend with a goal of really looking at the new Marvel Legends Guardians of the Galaxy figures, and maybe some of the new Marvel Infinite series, the old Marvel Universe type figures. And so in the area of new toys, this is kind of held out throughout the weekend, is there were not quite the selection there that there's been in some of the past shows. There's definitely were a handful of dealers, and they had good stuff. There was definitely a much bigger selection of vintage toys and a lot of really good stuff in the area of vintage toys. But a lot of the new toy dealers there were, you know, having their prices inflated a bit, I think, because of the lack of competition there. So if you're an exhibitor listening to this, thinking about going to an Amazing show that goes in the new toys, definitely there's a good venue there, because people were hungry for the toys, and the toys were selling. I mean, they were going well, so there's no reason the toys should be cheaper, but I can wait till we get back home and go to Frank and Son or something along those lines. Some of the stuff that you were looking at, Carmel, there was some, you know, pillows and headbands and some kind of unique one-off type stuff. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, one of the good things I think that I always find positive about the Amazing shows is that Jimmy and the staff do a really good job in bringing in some local unique vendors. Granted, there are still lots of the vendors that we see at a lot of other shows, whether it's at Frank and Sons or Long Beach or whatever other shows we're at, but he does pull in unique vendors that are either locals or just unique in general. And I'm not as much into the toys, so I usually am more drawn to things like custom jewelry or just general crafty type things. So one of the things that I grabbed that I thought was great was a headband that had, a hair tie that had TARDISes all over it, and the lady that was selling them was very nice and had all sorts of crafty different things, different scarves, different headbands. Some were Serenity themed, some were Star Trek themed, some were Doctor Who themed. I think I saw some Dexter theming. There was all sorts of different things, which I don't think I've seen her at any of the other shows we've been at, or at least if I've seen her, I haven't purchased from her. But that was Friday. I purchased the hair tie, and then yesterday, Saturday, I went back and bought a headband. And then one of the other purchases we made was someone had crafted together pillows. A lot of them were Disney themed, so there was a pillow with Cinderella on it, and a pillow with Lightning McQueen, both of whom are favorites of our niece and nephew. So we grabbed those, and I think those were like $5 each, which was amazing. And the headbands were $10, I believe. So, and then there's different custom jewelry that's been around. I haven't purchased any of it that I can think of, because I am often buying it, but at different places, so I didn't have a huge need for it this time. But I do appreciate when there is more than just the toys and the comics, when there are other unique type of items that I can pick up at these shows, which, by the way, I always get compliments outside the con world when I'm just out and about wearing any of these unique things. I'm almost always complimented by different types of people and those things that I pick up at the shows.
Yeah, and in that vein of one-offs, you know, and going into the toy, back into the toy world a little bit, there was a booth there that had custom Lego figures, and they had all sorts of Marvel, DC, Star Wars figures that were customized, and they really looked great. I mean, there was a great selection of them, and so we actually ended up picking up a handful of them. We picked up the Fantastic Four, and then important note on those is they were $5 each, which it was like, wow, you know, it's just $5 for a thing customized Lego minifigure is just, you know, amazing. So that's about what to charge for just a generic blind bag one at the Lego store is like $4. So that, and then got a couple of Red Lantern, Blue Lantern, Atrocitus, things like that. And it was just a really cool, you know, little kind of tucked away spot. But again, as you said, it's really about kind of some of those unique vendors that go along with big booths like Torpedo or Maxim Comics or some of these guys that we do see all over the circuit. And that really fits with the idea that the biggest presence on the showroom floor throughout the weekend is the comic scene. And there's really, although the exhibit hall is not as large as something like, let's say, Phoenix Comic Con, the comic book offerings, whether it be wall books or, you know, 50-cent bins, dollar bins, is larger than probably what we saw at Phoenix, which we loved our time at Phoenix Comic Con, have nothing but good to say about it. But it's just interesting to see how much comic they're packing into this show, which really underlines that huge point of this being a show focused on comics first.
Okay, well, and like you always say, Sean, we need to temper our expectations of shows. I think you have a lot of different interests, so it's easy for you to pivot. And so if a show the Amazing Las Vegas that we're at has a lot of comics, you're very interested in comics, so we kind of look at that and take the positive from that. Whereas Phoenix, although it is a comic con, may not have the same comic presence. There's still a lot of other things that are positive about that show. And so I think you're really good at helping me to, no matter what show we're at, to find the positive and enjoy it for whatever it is, whether it's a small show at the LA Shrine where it's almost a swap meet type atmosphere, to big intense things like San Diego. I think you're really good at helping me to adjust and pivot so that I can also enjoy whatever each individual show is offering.
Yeah, and that really is important for us. And if you're, you know, following along with us here because you've watched our YouTube videos and things like that, you know, we have a lot of different interests. And, you know, it's good to know before you get to a show just kind of what the show is about. And so for this one, we knew it was going to be about comics, the creators of comics, and the cosplay that kind of brings those comics to life. And it's really a perfect trinity that they have together here, because they really, as the main showrunner, Jimmy J, talks about, it's the architects of pop culture. And it is really cool that you have that. And that kind of segues us into Saturday, which is, you know, some big panels and a focus in these panels on what's going to be happening and the movie screens, the TV screens, and kind of how that's all born here in the comic book world. And then, you know, the cosplayers just fit in kind of like I always say it's a little bit to me like characters at a theme park where they're there and they add a lot to the atmosphere of the event. You know, to take Captain America out of the comic book and have him walk around the floor at the same time as maybe step over and, like, for me, the first thing Saturday morning, I went to see Steve Epting and had him sign some Winter Soldier stuff and had him sign Velvet and things like that. But, you know, it's just a really cool experience to tie that all together and then to go into a panel and maybe hear someone like Jim Valentino reference Winter Soldier, talk about that, and playing into Guardians of the Galaxy and movies like that. And so that really is a big part of what Saturday was for us, was the panel room. And so there were some big panels on Saturday. We obviously weren't in all panel rooms at all times, but a big part of the day was going through the through those panels and kind of just seeing some of the cool stuff that had to offer. So Saturday kicked off with Saturday morning cartoons, which is, again, a really cool thing that Amazing tries to do. That. I mean, they're always about embracing the family, and they're good at trying to find the different groups to embrace, and family and kids are not left out at all. And we'll get to Sunday in a few minutes because Sunday's all about kids. But in addition to that, there was Rob Liefeld, Smashes Pop Culture, and so he brought in Jim Valentino with him and Merritt Michaels, and they talked about the early Image days, and they talked about Valentino's work on Guardians of the Galaxy and what ideas might bleed into the movie coming out this August. Liefeld talked about, you know, X-Force potentials with movies and casting stuff and scripts he's read for Deadpool. And, you know, it was really cool because Liefeld ended up actually moderating the panel. And you can watch the full panel on our YouTube channel. But he ended up moderating the panel, and it really ended up being a fun hour of just kind of hearing him pull in the stories from the old days, but at the same time tying everything to the theme of the weekend of Architects of Pop Culture, and talking about how the things that are going on this weekend and the things in the exhibit hall and in the panel rooms are going to bleed into the movie theaters and TV screens coming up in this fall.
Yeah, Rob is a fun guy that I've enjoyed in the past cons that we've seen him speak at. He's always so energetic, and he's pretty consistent about doing his Todd McFarlane imitations, which are amazing and awesome, and he seems to love doing, and his energy bleeds out into the crowd. But yeah, it was he was just so excited and animated about the movies that are coming out, and he seemed super positive about everything, and it was very cool to hear the conversation take place between the three of them up on stage.
Yeah, and then following them up was another Image founder, and he really the headliner of the weekend, which is the first we're getting to him, but Jim Lee. And I think that kind of shows a lot of the star power of the weekend is there's all sorts of people to talk about before you get to Jim Lee. But at the end of the day, Jim Lee is the headliner, and he took over Hall A, and it was a packed standing room only hall, which I should say Liefeld's panel was as well. I mean, the panel room has been packed really from open to close each day. But Jim Lee took over the room, and he did a 55-minute sketch. His focus, he said he's been kind of doing an online in a way because so many people YouTube his videos, which YouTube his panels, which we have as well. But he kind of gives different focuses, and so it almost becomes an online drawing class that he's been teaching. So he wanted this weekend to be about the female form, and so he started with a female form and kind of showed some basics of that, and then converted one of his female forms into Harlequin with Batman, and it was quite the amazing piece, and then segued that into a couple quick head sketches just so he'd have some things to give out of Wonder Woman and then Batman. But always an interesting storyteller, always an amazing artist, and always very gracious with the audience.
Yeah, Jim Lee, when we've been in his panels before, I mean, it's always a good experience. He's always very concerned about people in the audience getting something from his panels. I was, of course, fortunate last year in that I actually won one of the sketches, so unfortunately, I did not win a second one this year, but I think statistically that would be virtually impossible. But the thing with the Jim Lee panels, I don't remember if last year it was the same situation, but this time he was running late, and he gets so involved in what he's doing that it seems that time isn't so much a concern. So the one sketch did take 55 minutes, and then I think he ran long, and so I believe Jim Valentino was up next, and so he was already standing there waiting for his time, but Jim was still up on stage finishing the sketches. So it was, of course, a good experience, and it's always amazing to see Jim Lee do his amazing artwork in front of everybody and talk you through the process and stuff. Though there were a few little frustrating aspects to that type of the tardiness and things like that, but Jim Lee is Jim Lee, so you know you can't really complain to see him, be able to see him in any venue.
Yeah, definitely. And he's really, they've seemed to make a really good relationship with the amazing brand and some of these guys like Jim Lee or Rob Liefeld, who are making repeat appearances when they're, you know, you don't see Jim Lee. I mean, you know, you see him at, you know, the Wonder Cons, the New York Comic Cons, the San Diego's, things like that, and then the amazing shows. And so he's not all around. And that was followed then by the Guardians of the Galaxy panel, which had a host of creators, Herb Trimpe, Jim Valentino, Andy Lanning, Andy Smith, Jerry Dugan. Talking about just kind of the history of Guardians of the Galaxy and kind of waxing poetic on what will be coming up in the films. And just throughout the day, there was a number of other panels. There was a face-off panel with Alana Rose to kind of feed into that, the costuming, sci-fi, makeup aspects of what's going on here. Comic Industry Spotlight with Charles Soule and Fred Van Lente. I mean, Charles Soule's one of the busiest guys in comics these days, and to have him hosting or really co-hosting a panel there, just talking about what it's like in the industry and how he's balancing all of those various tasks at the same time is cool. And then a lot of things where it's, you know, focus on actually helping people with skill sets too, is that something that's not lost on the weekend, things like digital inking techniques or how to create your own novel or things like that kind of stim. There's even a kind of an upcharge separate admission ticket for the comic experience classes, which were taught by Andy Smith. And so if you're unfamiliar with him, he actually runs what's called the comic experience and does these sorts of classes for people trying to break into the industry. And so to have that as kind of an offering here for the weekend gives a little bit of something for everybody. And from that, we finished off the night at the costume contest, which was a big Hall A extravaganza, which was probably the most packed thing of the day from what we saw, because there was just, you know, probably 100 or 200 people standing in the very back, just rows and rows deep for this huge 2.5 hour cosplay contest experience. And it was hosted by Heroes of Cosplay, Holly Conrad and Jessica Marzipan, I believe is how you say her name, from Crab Cat Industries. And so it was really cool to kind of see all the things that they were going through, or all the costumes that were going through the stage there and kind of being highlighted, and the various levels of detail that were available in the cosplay.
It's always impressive to see all the work that goes into the different costumes and the detail and the creativity. None of those things are in my skill set, so to see other people's work is always almost overwhelming to think of how much time and effort that everyone puts into it. And I think the hosts did a good job up on stage keeping the crowd entertained and sharing with some of their own experiences intermingled with talking to the contest participants. So it was a kind of a long experience. Cosplay contests aren't something that I usually partake in too much. I usually enjoy the cosplay just out on the floor. But seeing it all in one exposure, one panel, one contest was a fun thing to do, and it's amazing some of the things. I mean, there was a mystique that you and I discussed even after that we couldn't really tell exactly how she was makeuped and whether or not she was actually wearing clothes, and it was just so impressive how she put together her costume. And there was several that were just impressive beyond comprehension, really.
Yeah, the mystique, and she was paired with a Charles Xavier from the movie universe, and it was really super impressive. And it was kind of the surprise of the night for me of the contest that she didn't win something, because it was really, really amazing. Not to be too punny, but then also, you know, there was a really cool Mega Man. There was a Deadpool core with a walking Deadpool to tie into that. A little girl, Michonne, with her armless zombie pets, and some really cool ones.
The Spawnettes were impressive. I think, I'm not sure if it's the same group. I imagine it's the same group that we've seen before at, I think it was Amazing Arizona.
Kamikaze.
Oh, was it Kamikaze when they posed with Greg Capullo and stuff?
Yeah.
It was... They're also always very impressive and always have a strong presence whenever they're standing anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and at the end of the night, the winners for the best individual was a Starfire cosplay, which was quite something to see how, you know, how tinted orange her skin was. I mean, it looked really right off the Teen Titans pages. The best group was one of the coolest looking group of Justice League or DC-centric heroes I've seen. And there was this Joker that I guess it was a kind of a father-son team. The son was Batman and the father was the Joker, and he had sculpted his mask in the last few days, and it is a really super creepy looking Joker, but incredibly well done. And then best in show was a threesome of the ladies of Game of Thrones, and they had highly detailed gowns that they had sewn and put together themselves, and there was just some really impressive stuff.
Agreed. It was the winners were all incredible looking, and even, I mean, there were a handful that were handful participants that I was a little surprised weren't winners, but obviously there can only be a handful of winners, so
yeah and it was really, you know, it's really cool. This is a show that's very good about embracing all people, and the cosplay contest really shows that, is that the hosts were very kind in appreciating everyone that got up there, whether it was somebody that just put their costume together the day before, or somebody that spent months on it, whether it was somebody that bought pretty much all of their costume, or somebody handmade it. They didn't treat anybody as if they were, you know, second class citizens or elitism, and they even built in a little kind of a part where they kind of shared some secrets of the trade. And it was just a really fun couple hours, especially for us that are not as much into the cosplay. We appreciate seeing it on the floor, but to kind of hear some of their insights and some of the stuff they go through to put these awesome costumes together, which at the end of the day, I mean, that's become part of the convention culture, is when we go to shows and there's not cosplay, it really does stand out. So it really makes sense that that's something that the Amazing Comic-Con brand has kind of built as a cornerstone of their business, is to appreciate the cosplayers and treat them well, to immediately have that atmosphere built into each of their shows.
Bring up a great point. The cosplay, I think in all the shows that we attend, when there's a good cosplay presence, the energy level on the exhibit floor is amplified as to when there, compared to when there isn't that cosplay presence. And it's, you know, they can still be good shows, but the cosplay just brings this added energy level, including, I mean, because there are lots of times so many people who haven't attended cons before, and so it's always kind of fun to see, you know, random children getting excited when they see whoever dressed up, and the parents wanting to take pictures with them. It's just this extra level, this bonus level that I think bodes well for the show, because they, of course, want energy. The exhibitors enjoy the energy because it brings people there, and the people are excited to spend the money. I think the cosplayers enjoy it because it gives them a place where they can show off their talents. And then I think the attendees enjoy it because they get to see the characters that they love, either on screen or in print, brought to life. And it just adds this whole other level to shows that I don't think were necessarily present all that, or as present several years ago. And it's just in general cosplay, I think, has taken a big jump in the last several years.
Yeah, I mean, that has been a huge change to the convention scene. And, you know, we don't live in a world anymore, really, where there's many shows that are just the one room, you know, the one room place at the Holiday Inn at the end of the freeway that has, you know, 20 dealers with just comic book bins, and that's it. You know, is now we're in a world where it is trying to get a cross section of people to come from the movie and TV world to come and spend a little bit of money at these shows and support some of these artists. And the cosplay is big because that's what catches on social media. You know, when you look at our stats, people oftentimes will get, you know, if you look at Phoenix Comic Con, I think we literally have 20 times the amount of people that want to see, you know, Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle cosplay, a 10-second video, versus the number of people that want to see a Stan Lee, Todd McFarlane panel. And so at the end of the day, it creates a lot of excitement, and it makes sense that a show embrace them. And I think it ties into a lot of what we try to do with our site, is we try to really bring a spotlight to these shows, and we try to celebrate the things the shows do well, and give the shows kind of a forum to kind of have their own free advertising by having our site and being a place to direct people where they can kind of show what is going on at their convention. Because if you have a convention, whether it's a tiny one or a huge one, that doesn't catch on via social media, it's kind of the tree falling in the forest, and does anybody hear, you know, did it really happen type of thing. Is if you're going to have a con and it doesn't catch on, people, the word doesn't get out. And so it's really rewarding for us to hear when people are going to make the trip out to Phoenix Comic Con. I think we had like 5 different people contact us and say they were going to try Phoenix Comic Con this year because of our coverage of it. And it really all comes back to kind of the shows embracing the people that celebrate what the show's about most. And a lot of that starts with those cosplayers, for sure. So kind of segueing to our Sunday then, which is where we're at now. Sunday's all about Kids Day. And it's a, you know, one of the things I heard a few weeks ago is as of that point, they had sold more pre-sale tickets for Sunday than any of the other days. And I think that's something very distinct and different about the amazing shows, is we've seen them have really strong Sunday finishes. And a big part about that is they make Sunday unabashedly Kids Day. You know, it's all about celebrating the families. They usually have Matt Nastos, former Disney, a Disney creator, who does, you know, free Phineas and Ferb sketches for 10 and under. They've got things going on like, you know, a Sunday morning cartoon panel. They've got a whole video game arcade kind of situation going on. They even end the day with a big kids costume parade. So now you're focusing on cosplay just for the kids. And so, you know, as we speak, there's a little 3-year-old running by us. There's just kids everywhere here. But they're here with their families, and it's a fun thing. And hopefully these are kids that grow up to be comic readers and keep the things that we love alive. And I think it's a neat thing about this show that they kind of celebrate that. And much like, you know, a comic vendor will have a wall of books that tries to tie into the creators there, it really seems that that's the way they kind of assemble their lineup, is they try to look for themes. You know, okay, let's go Guardians of the Galaxy and tie those in together. Let's try and find things that work as common things. You know, they brought in the Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy, as one of their handful of media guests, but so they need to tie in a Doctor Who fan meetup and try and find a little niche there and kind of provide these different offerings for the different types of people that are going to be here.
Well, I think it's really smart of the Amazing brand and just cons in general to truly embrace the kids and to build that younger audience. I think one of the things that comes up quite a bit in conversations about conventions is that there's so many of them now, and when is there going to be a bust, and when are people going to just stop going, and when is it just going to be too much? So I think that the Amazing brand is very smart to really embrace those kids so that there isn't a fatigue involved with their shows, and that they keep their audience growing, because if the kids are enjoying it, then as they get older, they're going to start bringing their friends when they're striving, and then when they get older, they'll bring their own children, and it's really, really, I think, investing into their own future to embrace that aspect of the audience out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in that kind of offering for everybody, I mean, if you look at, you know, they have Jordan Hembro here from Toy Hunter to kind of feed that group of the vintage toy, or just the toy collectors in general. As I said, Sylvester McCoy, the Seventh Doctor. So you've got that Doctor Who contingency. Holly and Jessica from the Heroes of Cosplay, you know, Alana Rose from FX Face Off, the Winter Twins for the authors, you know, and then just throughout the comics is really hitting in every area, whether it's Tony Fleece with his My Little Pony stuff, or Matt Nastos with the Disney stuff, John Layman, Chu, Batman, Portacio, you know, the famous X-Men Image stuff, Andy Lanning, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Rocket Raccoon, Groot, Valentino, Trimbe, Ween. I mean, you know, they hit new people. I mean, even someone like Chad Harden, who's kind of the hot artist right now with his Harley Quinn stuff, you know, is whether it's kind of the hot new writer artist, or, you know, the people that have been there for quite some time and worked the industry for, you know, the last 20, 30, 40 years. They really try and hit on having something for all the various subcultures that fit within the convention. And And you can see that playing out with what seemed to be really good numbers on all 3 days of the show, as the showroom seemed pretty well packed from open to close all 3 days. There didn't seem like there was any huge lulls. You know, maybe last half hour of Saturday or something like that, some of the rows were a little bit thinner. But for the most part, that was just because people were moving maybe from one spot to another.
I think on Saturday, the last hour maybe on the floor was pretty light, but that was, I think, in large part because there was a huge line of people waiting to get into the cosplay contest. So I'm not sure how much the vendors loved that last hour everybody was in line for the contest, but there were still people there. They were just in a different place. They were in line instead of on the floor. So,
yeah, and that spun into kind of a nice kind of, you know, in concluding that Saturday night, because we ended up, you know, the show around 9 o'clock, and so I mean for us it gave us a full 12 hours of in play time of the convention and stuff. And so it's always fun when the shows have a little bit of programming extending after the exhibit hall hours. I mean, I think outside of San Diego Comic-Con, really, Phoenix Comic-Con writes the book on that. I mean, they have the most amazing after-hours programming. But it was really cool to kind of wrap that up yesterday here. And you can tell today with the kids' cosplay thing at the end of the day, too, that's going to kind of put a wrap-up on the day, too. So in looking forward to next year, the Amazing Comic Convention brand is expanding with a couple new shows. So their next show is actually the Houston Comic Con. So Amazing Houston Comic Con, which is August 29th through the 31st. So that's probably not one we're going to be making, because we're usually kind of staying within that 7 hours of our little Southern California home there. So I don't know about making that Houston. And then after that is Amazing Arizona, which we've gone to for the last 3-4 years. And that's February 13th through the 15th. This year, unfortunately, we'll be missing that one because we have Gallifrey 1 that weekend, and so unfortunately Amazing has moved back into that time frame, and we already all have our tickets taken care of and rooms and all that. So it looks like it's going to probably be a year till we're at an Amazing show. So we'll be back at the South Point next June for Amazing Las Vegas, June 19th through the 21st. So we already have that on our calendar, and we'll be putting that on our website calendar pretty soon, so you can keep that in mind there. And then very exciting, they're expanding in 2015 as well. In September, they're adding a Hawaii Comic Con, which it's exciting to think of what that's going to bring, because now they'll be able to start signing guests with kind of, you know, hey, come do our Houston show and we'll fit you in on our Hawaii show. And, you know, maybe a Houston or a Phoenix isn't quite as attractive as a Vegas or a Hawaii, but they've got kind of this nice balance to maybe get these guys to do two show deals and things like that, to get them to come to one of the areas that maybe isn't going to be quite the destination location that a Vegas or Hawaii is. But at the same time, there's going to be a lot of hungry fans there that are going to love to see that show. And so it'll be exciting to see what happens with Amazing in the next few years.
I agree. I think either we need to decide to vacation during the times that they're going to be in Hawaii, or we need to convince Jimmy that we're so valuable that he needs to take us out there with him.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll have to look at when that calendar comes out of when Hawaii fits in to see if there's a way that we can fit that show in, because it'll be very interesting to see there. When we were in Hawaii last year, just on vacation, we went to a couple comic shops, and it was just interesting to see kind of the island culture blending with the comic culture there. There's a strong anime presence out there, and so knowing Amazing Comic Cons are very good at kind of finding the things that are popular and hot in that area and really celebrating them. So I'll be guessing that there's going to be a strong anime presence there and that they'll tie that into. But yeah, it's just exciting to see what's happening, because it's almost like the Amazing brand is kind of the opposite of the Wizard brand. They both have overlap in the pop culture realms, but one is really focusing on, these are people that used to be in these TV shows, or maybe that they're going to be in this movie, or, you know, they'll bring in a lot of, you know, the Lou Ferrigno, and then maybe bring in one Chris Hemsworth type person, or a couple of those, or things like that. And whereas Amazing is more focusing on the comic portion of that, and kind of what builds it, and kind of the minds behind it. And so it's neat to have that both of those shows are out there, because I think there's definitely an audience for both types of shows. And similar to Wizard, Amazing is really aiming at some areas that are not as rich in Comic-Con. So not that Vegas is that far from Southern California, but, you know, they're not plopping down right now in Anaheim, although I'd love to see them do that in the future. But they're, you know, they're starting out these first, you know, 5 years or so of shows. They're really starting out with exploring some areas that are not as populated by cons, and bringing that to a very hungry group of fans that, you know, maybe for us, we see Brian Buccellato, we feel like, you know, once a month at the shows we go to, but he's not, you know, in Vegas all the time. And so it brings him out to a whole new area. There's a lot of his fans out here that can kind of celebrate him and and keep the whole thing going around. So any last thoughts on Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con 2014?
Not so much. I'm looking forward to this final day, Sunday. I want to hit the floor again, make sure there aren't any other things that I feel I need to purchase before we head out. And then it'll be nice this evening to finish off the evening on doing a little bit of gambling.
Yeah, you know, it shows that when the exhibitors struggle, usually we see big dips in, big sales on Sunday. So far in the first few hours here on Sunday, didn't see that. So I think that's a good sign. I think the dealers are doing well. The few that we've talked to, whether it be comic toys or otherwise, have seemed to do well. So I believe they're doing well, and we're probably not going to see many sales here, but it'll definitely be enjoyable to kind of finish out the show and then get back on to the next thing. And so for us, we have a couple small shows coming up on our calendar. If you're able to make any of them, that's awesome. So next weekend, which is the 28th, we'll be at the San Gabriel Comic Expo. And so it's a tiny little show, but we'll be checking that out. And our good friend, the LA Rabbit on Twitter, Andrew Sanford, has covered it before, and so we're hoping to be able to make it out there as well. And then the weekend after is Anime Expo, and so keeping with the theme of last year, if you followed along with me at Anime Expo, I don't really know much of anything about anime, and so I'm always very honest about weaknesses and blind spots and stuff, and anime is not an area I know a ton about. I think I know a little bit more this year than last year, but looking forward to going out there and kind of offering that perspective of kind of the non-anime person, because I had a blast there last year without having that knowledge base, and I think that's something that could be interesting for people as well. And then obviously we are working all up to the giant San Diego Comic-Con, and so there's a few other little shows in between, and definitely we'll have several Disney events if you follow along with us for the theme parks and not stuff and Universal and things like that. But the big thing everyone's counting down to is San Diego Comic-Con. We're entering that kind of 30-day period there, and so we'll be doing a lot of stuff with SDCCblog.com, and that's really the place. If you're a San Diego fan, you probably already know that, and it is the leading site for news, and so SDCCblog is the place to go to get all the breaking news and see what's going on. And we will actually be getting out there on Monday this year, and we'll be leaving on Monday, so this will be our longest time there, and each year we edge it back a little bit because it's just fun to see, and nowadays to really cover the transformation of the city. So make sure to follow along with us, whether it be on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or YouTube, the website, and hopefully all of them, as we watch San Diego convert into the pop culture mecca, you know, the king of the comic cons in this July. And so that's coming up very soon. And we'll see if we do some other podcasts for some of these other shows. As I said, we'll see kind of where this goes from here. So follow along with us. The best place to find everything we do is our website, theconfluencecovers.com. And so you can click on there and find us, be it Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, any and all of those things. And we try to kind of differentiate a little bit of what we offer in each of those medias as we learn more about what people want to see in each of those areas. So hopefully by following along in all of them, you get a full and complete story. And our goal really is to be at as many of these really cool experiences as we're able to possibly afford to make, and then cover them completely and try to do something that no one else is doing, which is cover it inside out and give as close to 100% of an idea of what a show or a theme park or a certain exhibit is about. That's out there. So please follow along with us, and you can always email us and give us show ideas and contact us on any of those forms. So until next time, we will see you in line somewhere.